singing tonight, let's remain standing, please, for the reading of the Word of God tonight and then the message that I feel like the Lord would have me to bring in your presence tonight. I've enjoyed the singing, the good fellowship in the Lord's house tonight. And good songs of faith. There's nothing like God's people singing when they're singing in the Spirit of God. And there's nothing like a preacher preaching when he's preaching in the Word, in the Spirit of God. I'm going to tell you, you get either one of them out of kilter and you got a mess on your hand. I'll assure you of that. I appreciate the good singing tonight. And again, it's good to have our visitors with us. And appreciate them being here. Hope they'll come back again to Island Ford Baptist Church. Amen. All right. I want you to turn in your Bibles, if you would, tonight to Psalm 127. For the message for the hour tonight, Psalm 127. Amen. We'll try to bring the thought that the Lord has laid upon my heart. Try to get through it as quickly as we possibly can. And Psalm 127. I want to read one verse. That's verse number one. The Bible said, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Amen. We need to constantly be reminded of that. And except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. If God doesn't keep the city, the watchman's wake is in vain. And if the Lord doesn't build the house, then our labors are in vain. That's what the Bible says. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, I'm thankful, Lord, for the privilege of being in God's house tonight. Thank you, Lord, for the good singing, the good fellowship tonight. Thank you, Lord, for the good Spirit of God that I feel in my heart. I pray you'll bless tonight with great liberty. May the Holy Ghost of God breathe upon us tonight that breath of a Lord of power. I pray that you'll fill us with the Spirit of God, with wisdom and grace. I pray, Lord, that you'll help me to preach tonight with unction. I pray, Lord, you'll help me to be a blessing to the people of God. Preach the gospel to sinners. Lord, grace the hearts of your people with your divine presence tonight, I pray. For, Lord, truly without you we can do nothing. So I pray that you'll help every home that's represented here tonight. Help the preacher. I need your divine help. Your grace and your power save sinners now for the honor and the glory of God, and revive and strengthen and bless the people of God. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you now, and you may be seated. I want to read our verse of Scripture again, where the Bible said, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. And except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. I don't intend to preach on the latter part of that verse tonight, but I do want to preach on the first part of it, except the Lord build the house. Amen. They labor in vain that build it. And I want to preach for a little while tonight, and I may preach two or three more times. I've got the notes here already. I may preach a little more out of this thought, but I want to preach a little while tonight, if God will help me, on the house that Jesus built. Amen. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Amen. Now, the word here, the word house, as it's used here in the Word of God, means a family dwelling. Amen. Now, the only family dwellings that I'm familiar with is the home, and then, of course, the house of God. They are family dwellings. And I say, without any reservations tonight, except the Lord will build your home, your labors are going to be in vain. There's a whole lot of people tonight that are building sandcastles. They think they're building a home, but they're only building a sandcastle. that when the waves of life begin to beat against it, it seems to dissolve and wash away. Amen. And the reason being is that that house is not built by the Lord. Our homes ought to be built upon Bible principles and upon godly principles. And the Lord ought to be the center of every home. And except He is building that home tonight, they labor in vain that build it. I've seen a lot of homes that I thought was surely on the rock, but I found out later in life that they only were on sinking sand. And the reason being is that the Lord was not building that house. Except the Lord build your home, you labor in vain that build it. This young couple, our granddaughter Jacob, just recently got married a couple of weeks ago. I can say to them with all honesty, except the Lord build their home, build their house, their labors will be in vain. A home cannot be built by human power and human wisdom. It takes a mind of a great architect to build a family unit. It really does. It takes a great architect to build a home. And the only architect I know that is wise enough to build the home is the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, they're building houses all over Madisonville, but there's a difference between a house and a home.
Amen.
That's right. That is absolutely right. It takes the Lord to build that home. And then, of course, the other home that I'm referring to is the house of God. And they both must be built by the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That is exactly right. The Lord's got to build the church. I've heard a lot of preachers get up and preach, and when they get up, they'll tell you, well, the way things are going at my church. Well, I'm going to be honest with you. This is not my church. And this is not your church. If we had built it, it would be ours. But I'm not building this church, and neither are you. I trust that by the grace of God, our Lord Jesus is building this house of God. Amen. And if He'll build this house, it will stand. Well, there's a lot of folks today, because we're living in perilous times, have got the idea that the church is just about ready to fold up and shut its doors and go out of business. But I want to say to you, on the authority of the Bible, the church is not going down, it's going up. Amen. If it is the house that Jesus built, it's going up. Amen to God. Thank God. I'm glad. When God gets in the middle of the church, He knows how to build it. He knows how to bring in lively stones and put them in exactly where He wants them to be, in the house of God, and build the house. For we are a spiritual house. We are lively stones, and we're built there by the Lord. And I must admit, I marvel over the past almost 19 years now how I've watched the Lord take a lively stone here and one here and place it into the house of God and build the house of the living God. And except the Lord build that, I'll guarantee you, ladies and gentlemen, they labor in vain to build it. There's a lot of buildings across town tonight that call themselves churches. But I'm going to tell you, I've been to some of them. Now, I'll be quite honest. There's very few of them I've been around I've found the Lord in. This is one thing I've learned about the Lord in building His house. He will show up there every now and then. He is the authority in that house. I'll guarantee you, if He builds a house, He's going to protect the house and watch over the house and keep the house, ladies and gentlemen, from any invaders that would do their best to destroy what God has built. I'm telling you, God will not allow the devil nor anybody else to destroy the house that Jesus is building. Amen and amen, Brother Hall. Thanks be unto God. That's right. And He's building that house. You mark it down, the devil's going to attack. He's going to attack the house of God. He is not only the arch enemy of Christ, but He is the arch enemy of the church as well. He hates the church because we propagate the gospel. And He hates the church because we magnify and glorify the Lord. And He hates the church because we worship Christ. Amen. And I'll tell you, he is the enemy of the church tonight. But I've got news for that devil. He can huff and puff, but this is one house he cannot blow in. Amen. Amen. Now, I got some funny looks on that, but that don't bother me one bit. That old bad wolf said, I'll huff and I'll puff and I'll blow your house in. And I'm going to tell you, that brick house, he couldn't blow. He couldn't blow in, could he? Amen. That's right. And the church cannot, the devil cannot tear down the church of the living God. I'm going to tell you why. Because every nail and every board and every plank has been placed there, purposely in place by the Lord. He is building his house, and the gates of hell shall not, ladies and gentlemen, prevail against it. Thanks be unto God. I believe I'll preach tonight if I can get some help out of some of y'all. Amen. And I want to specifically talk about the house of God tonight as being the church. I say specifically the church because there's been more, I bet, for lack of a better terminology, there's been more places on this earth that the Lord has dwelt in than the church. He dwelt first in the tabernacle in the wilderness. And it was made by man's hands and God dissolved it. He also dwelt in the temple that Solomon built. And it was built by man's hands and God dissolved it. But I'm telling you, when he started building the church, it shall not be dissolved. Well, amen to God. I'm glad, and I want to say this, I'm glad, thank God, that I'm a member of an old-fashioned, independent, Bible-believing, hell-preaching, heaven-preaching, holiness-separated Baptist church that loves the souls of men, loves the Lord, and loves to worship God in spirit and in truth. Hallelujah, and shame on the dirty devil anyway. Shame on the devil. That's right. I believe I'm about to get my four ameners picked out for the amen corner. Amen. That's right. Thank God. Amen. All others have been works of man's hands. But the church is the only building that I know that is being built and cannot be tainted by the touch of human builders. Notice what Paul said in Hebrews 9 and verse 11. But Christ, being come in high priest of God, of good things to come, by greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands. That is to say, not of this building. Then in Matthew 16 and 18, he said, I say unto you that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. What are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm saying, except the Lord build the church, build the house, they labor in vain to build it. Now, I want to say this, and I'm not trying to be ugly, but I know a lot of super-duper soul-winning boys, and I believe we ought to try to tell people about God. I believe we ought to try. I believe we ought to witness every opportunity we get. I think we ought to pass out tracts. I think we ought to invite people to church. I think we ought to bring people to church. But I'm not in for this, getting folks saved through the screen door and 1, 2, 3 religion and easy believism religion. I'm not in favor of that at all. But I know a whole lot of guys that have built buildings, what they call churches, in their super-duper way. And it was a house that they built. And when it fell, great was the fall of it, because it was done by the work of man and not by the Lord. Amen. I've never forgotten what Harold Sattler said years ago. He said, we don't see abundance of souls, and the church run 1,500, by the way. He said, we don't see them saved by the dozens and hundreds like some of these fellas do that we read about. But he said, every now and then God will save some old sinner. And he'll bring that old sinner in, put him in the choir. Amen. Wash him up, clean him up. Make him a child of God and set him in the choir. Amen. Yep. Or make a Sunday school teacher out of him. Every now and then he'll save him, bring him in, make a preacher boy out of him or a deacon out of him. Amen. He'll bring some harlot in off the street and save her by the grace of God. Set her in the choir. Amen. Let her grace the hearts of God's people with song every now and then. Amen. That's right. That's the way I'd rather be it done anyway. You know when Solomon built the temple, that they manufactured, that's the first prefab building in the Bible.
Amen.
They did all of the work away from Jerusalem. They cut all the timber, they cut all the stones away from the city and brought that material in and put it together in Jerusalem and built the temple.
Amen.
They sure did. I'm telling you, the first prefab building in all the world was the temple, Solomon's temple.
Amen.
But I said that to say this, there was no noise heard in Jerusalem. And I said that to say all the noise was heard outside the camp. I said that to say this, that a church is not built on hoopla and a lot of nonsense, but a church is built by the grace of God on the preaching of the Word of God. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Come on, that's right. Amen. I've seen a lot of them built on music and singing and quartets, and a lot of them have a quartet in every week and talk about having God, but when the quartet leaves it, funny to me that God seemed to leave with the quartet. Praise God, I'm glad I pastor a church where a quartet don't bring in God. The people file through the door back there every service. They're the ones that carries God in. They are the church. They are the building. They are the house that God built.
Amen.
Praise God. I shook my microphone off. I ain't even got stirred up yet. None. Shook my microphone off. Hallelujah. The Lord only. Now, the Lord only built one church. Upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Just one church. And I've been called... Well, let me say this before I say anything else. It's not a universal invisible church he's building. I believe that you could see Peter, James, and John. Come on in the house. Bartholomew and Andrew and Simon. I believe you could see all them. They were the church that Jesus was building. Amen. And he added to the church on the day of Pentecost. A local visible church. I am not a universalist.
Amen.
And I'm not like I'm going to say this too. He only built one church.
Amen.
Amen to God. Now come on now.
Amen.
Told my wife over there, give me that high sign. Amen. We're going to have to make up our mind on what church it was he built.
Amen.
Now I will say this. That the material was gathered by a Baptist.
Amen.
His name was John.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. And his name wasn't John the Baptist. His name was John.
Amen.
He was called a Baptist because of the work that he did. And I'm just crazy enough to believe that if the material was gathered by a Baptist, then Jesus had to be a Baptist.
Amen.
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 Somebody said, what would you be if you wasn't a Baptist? I'd be ashamed of myself. Amen. That's exactly what I'd be.
Amen.
Praise God. I'm glad I'm a Baptist. I make no apologies about it. I am Baptist from here all the way down to here. And amen to God. The Spirit of God put me in a Baptist church. And I want to praise His name for it.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. That's right. Hallelujah. Men are saved, become members of the family of God. And there is a difference between the church and the family of God. You can be in the family without being in the church.
Amen.
But you can't be in the church
Amen.
Without being in the family.
Amen.
You might be a tear,
right.
But you ain't going to be in the church. I'm going to say this to you. In the church Jesus is building, there are tares in there. Right along with the wheat, you better believe they are. God gave me this some time ago. I've heard people say, well, if the church owned by Jesus is building, well, it's got tares in it. And he's coming after a glorious church. He's not coming. The tares are not going to heaven. I said, you're absolutely right. Here's what he's doing according to Matthew 13. He's gathering the tares in bundles to be burned. And he does that before he ever gathers his wheat into the barn. So that tells me that he is gathering the tares right now. And binding those tares in bundles to be burned right now. Amen. Right now there are tares in the church. But they're not in the church. They're just occupying a place on the pew. Amen. They're lost. Somebody asked me one time, said, do you think a tear can be saved? I said, I plead the fifth. Somebody said, now preacher, you're crazy. Am I? When those servants asked him, said, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Then when come these tares? He said, an enemy done it.
Amen. Right.
So the tares are planted by enemy.
Amen.
Now, I'm telling you, there are tares amongst the wheat, ladies and gentlemen.
Right.
You and I don't have the right spiritual vision many times to tell the difference. But I'm telling you that I, the Lord Jesus, who is building the house, praise God, the foundation of God stand assured that He knows those that are His, ladies and gentlemen. And He knows the tares from the wheat, and He's got the power to root up the tares and never bring one wheat out of the ground with it.
Amen.
Anybody listening to me? Now, the Bible said in Ephesians 3:14-15, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth are named. And so there's family in heaven and there is family in earth. Now the church is not in the Old Testament. I had a fella come up to me at Brother Johnny Jones in April and walked up to me and said, Now, I want to talk to you about something. He said, do you understand that we're Jews, don't you? And I said, no, sir, I don't understand that we're Jews. Oh, yeah. He said, as a matter of fact, he said, we're the tribe of Judah. And I said, have you been drinking? Are you on dope? I'm not a Jew, I'm a Gentile. Now, I won't say, the church has not found what we call the church in the Old Testament. They talk about the church in the wilderness, but that just simply means a called out assembly. But I'm telling you, the New Testament church is not found in the Old Testament. Amen. But there are Jew and Gentile alike in the church. There is no difference. That's why this crowd running around today talking about going to the Jew first and also the Gentile, they've got their doctrine all fouled up on that.
Amen.
Amen. We're Jew and Gentile. How in the world can I go to Jews first in my ministry? The bottom line of it is, what they're saying is you've got to have a Jewish missionary in your church or you're not fulfilling the Great Commission. My Bible said to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature.
Amen.
God didn't distinguish between Jew and Gentile either.
Amen.
Now what about this house? What about this house?
Amen.
It's New Testament. It's local. It's visible. It's built by Jesus in His ministry. It was empowered by the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost, and it was sent into the world under the authority of Christ to preach the gospel to every creature. Christ is building churches today after the pattern of the church that He built. That's where a lot of men get mixed up. They say, well, the church. If you say it's just local church, then it's churches. Well, yeah, it's churches then. It's churches then. But I'm telling you, when He talked about building His church upon this rock, I'll build my church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He built a church, and the churches He's building today are patterned after the one He built.
Amen.
Now, you better get a hold of that.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to tell you what. Some of you, well, all of you in here ought to be turning double backflips tonight.
Amen.
To know that God not only saved you, but He brought you to the right kind of a church.
Yes.
I'm going to tell you what. I got in a Baptist church. Don't ask me. It wasn't left up to me. God just brought me there.
Amen.
I tried to go to a Pentecostal church. He said, wrong one. I went back over to little old Methodist church where I was born and raised. He said, wrong one. I walked into old Bill Dolan's. He said, right one.
Yes, sir, preacher.
I'm going to tell you, the Holy Ghost will bear witness in your heart, like I said last week, whether it's right or it's wrong.
Amen.
Buddy, I'm telling you, hear wrong preaching and wrong doctrine, the Holy Ghost will say, wrong, get out of here.
Amen. That's right.
That's right.
Amen.
That crowd that can stay in them churches that preaches false doctrine, they ain't right with God.
Amen.
Guy wrote me a letter the other day. Now, they never put their return address on it. He's one of these Jesus-only fellas. Sealed it up with enough scotch tape. Bless God. Took 15 pocket knives to get it all cut off. And had it typed. Didn't never put their name. They won't put their name or their return address. He said on there, Jesus said, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. He said, the Father's one. The Holy Ghost is one. The Son is one, the Holy Ghost is one. Said they're all singular, they're all three one, they're not plural, there's only one God. I would readily say, He's right, there is one God. But there's one God manifesting Himself in three persons. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. If I'd had His address, I'd just turned that piece of paper over and I'd said, go home and kiss your mother, kiss your father, and kiss your sister. I'd say, your father is singular, your brother is singular, your sister is singular, but they're all different persons.
Amen.
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 That's right.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I get tired getting them letters from them idiots.
Amen.
I'll probably get another one after tonight.
Amen.
They listen just to try to correct me, but they ain't got enough guts about them. They know who I am, but they ain't got enough guts about them to put their name down.
Amen.
Or to come and talk to me.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. That's right. Now, I often wonder if all the missionaries that we're going out are really doing so by the leadership of the Spirit of God and planting churches. Now, I want you to listen to me. Now, I'm not trying to be ugly. There's a lot of good benevolent deeds, but missions is church planting.
Yes, sir.
Thank God for benevolent deeds given to the poor and helping folk. Giving blood, you want to give to the blood bank. That's a good benevolent deed. But that's not a missionary. I'm going to tell you, you can find a missionary to everybody anymore. I was over at Brother Calvert's a couple of years ago, and a guy came up and said, preacher, I want to give you one of my prayer cards. I'm a missionary. I said, where are you going to? Now, we're at Candlelight Baptist Church, Wynn, Arkansas, about 30 miles from Memphis. He said, I'm going to the youth of Memphis, Tennessee. Well, I said, isn't that wonderful? I thought they had churches doing that. One fella come up and give me. I'm serious. Now, one fella come up and give me a prayer card. Said I'm going to. Said I'm going to the old folks' homes. I'm missionary though. I said, well, that's good. But I'm telling you, that's a good benevolent deed. And I don't guess there's anything wrong with trying to win teenage kids and work with teenage kids, but I'm telling you, mission work's planting churches.
Amen.
And except missionaries are sent,
right,
their labor is in vain in the Lord.
Amen.
Better mark her down, buddy.
Amen.
Well, I'm telling this Arab here, he better make sure, without a doubt, God's sending him.
Yes, sir.
I can call him Arab, he's my son-in-law.
Amen.
Amen. No, Doug, I apologize for that. You are not Arab. I wouldn't call anybody Arab. I apologize, son. You ain't an Arab.
Amen.
Now, I got four or five things I want to mention. Several verses of scripture to read. I want to say, what about this church Jesus is building? I want to say, number one, there's unity among the people. In the church that Jesus built, there is unity among the people.
Amen.
Acts 2:1, the Bible said, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place.
Amen.
Heard a preacher preaching one time, and he said, if things keep going on the way they're going, where I'm pastoring, said, I believe I can get all my people in one accord. That ain't got about four left. Said, surely we can fit in an accord. And I don't believe that's the accord Jesus is talking about.
Amen.
No. He's talking about being in agreement, being in unity. Acts 2:44 says, and all they that believed were together and had all things common. Ephesians 4:1-3, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness and longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now, I'm telling you, all saved people are in the unity of the Spirit, but it does not necessarily mean that they are in the bond of peace. Do you understand that you can have unity, you can have union without unity?
Right.
Huh?
But I like your example.
Amen.
You can have unity, union without unity. Somebody said, preacher, illustrate that. Be glad to. You can take two tomcats, tie their tail together, and you've got union.
Yeah.
You throw them over a clothesline, see how much unity you got.
Amen.
You find out real quick you ain't got a lot of unity, friend. I'm simply saying that God's church, they're in the bond of peace.
Yeah.
If they're really saved, they're possessors of the Holy Ghost. And they're not fussing, they're not fighting, they're not quarreling, they're not wrangling.
Amen.
They come together to glorify the Lord,
amen,
to be edified and built up and encouraged.
Amen.
Amen to God, and to leave to be a holy witness of the resurrection of the Son of God.
Amen.
Amen. That's right.
Amen.
My God, I'm telling you, a lot of most churches are battlegrounds.
Right.
And I'm going to tell you why most of them are. Them tares raising up against the wheat.
Right. Amen.
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 Amen. God doesn't lead us in troublesome waters.
Right.
He leads beside the still waters.
Amen.
And lays us down in green pastures.
Amen.
And gives us harmony. Nobody trying to take over the pastor's job. They know it's the pastor's place. Now, I'm going to show you something. It'd be about as intelligent for me to go over and tell Miss Hall or tell Elizabeth, move over out of the way. God wants me to play the piano tonight. You talk about harmony, we'd have some real sweet harmony, buddy. But that makes about as much sense as somebody that's not called here to try to be the pastor of a church that they're not called the pastor.
Amen.
God calls men to the pastorate.
Amen.
And puts them where He wants them.
Amen.
And by the way, this is Brother Hall's persimmon tree right here.
Amen.
I staked my claim 19 and a half years ago, and praise God, I ain't ready to leave now. I, for one thing, I like it here. The second thing, it costs too much to move. And the third thing, I love you too much to leave you.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. This is my old brother Noah said, every possum God called thee is a persimmon tree to roost in. This is my persimmon tree.
Amen.
And I'm going to be honest with you. A man might be a preacher and a good preacher. But if God ain't called him here to pastor, he can't pastor here. Make a mess, that's right. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you. Amen. Stay right with me now. Psalm 133 and verse 1 said, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments. That oil, that precious ointment, is the Holy Ghost. Come on in the house. That runs from the head, who is Jesus, to the bottom of the garments, who is the very lowest in the house of God. I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost covers them all and unites them all in the bond of peace together. You can just mark that down in your book. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. I'm liking this tonight. Amen. I won't say there's not just unity, but there's unity in doctrine.
Amen.
Time will come. They will not endure sound doctrine.
Right.
We've had them in here that thought they could have three living wives and preach.
Right.
Two living wives and preach.
Right.
We've had them in here. We've had them in here that believe you can speak in. There's a literally today a modern day tongues. Unity in doctrine.
Amen.
Come on in the house. I won't charge you nothing for that.
Amen.
So I don't tell you everything I know. We've had them in here that believes that they can be guided and directed by dreams. They're not here no more. I'm just telling you, we're guided and directed by that King James 1611 Bible I'm preaching out of. Not the NIV, the RSV, or the ASV, the KJV 1611 Bible. Period.
Amen.
That'll work for faith and practice. Amen. And doctrine.
Amen.
And all Scripture is given to us for doctrine. All of it. It's profitable for reproof, for correction, instruction, and righteousness. Amen. Come on in the house now. Thank God. There's unity in doctrine. Amen. Unity in duties. 1 Corinthians 12:20 said, but now are there many members, yet one body. I don't know who in here is the foot. I don't know who is the hand, who's the ear, who's the eye. But I'll say one thing. Are you listening? God knows who they are.
Amen.
And He knows how to guide each and every one of them to keep their duties in line with one another.
Yeah.
Wouldn't I look crazy trying to walk on my hands?
Amen.
Talk with my nose? Now, I'm going to tell you this, and some of you are going to think that I am a cockamamie lying devil. But I'm telling you, there was a young boy in Mexico. They call him Crazy Boy. His last name, his daddy's name, for a Mexican, he's got a funny last name. His name is Bloss. And that boy could take both of his eyelids, these eyelids, and twist them up that way. Miss Ruth saw it. She testified to it. But that ain't the worst. I saw him take a jar of water, sniff that water up in his nose, and some way squirt and spray a stream of water out of his right eyeball. I didn't see it once, two or three times. I'm talking about the size of a piece of thread, a stream of water coming out of his eyeball. Now, he might be an exception to what I'm preaching. He might be able to walk on his eyelids. I don't know. But I got to walk on my feet. I got to use my hands to write with, and I got to use my ears to hear with, and my eyes to see with, my mouth to talk with. Now I'm telling you, every church has got those members in particular in them. and they are to work together in harmony. You see how much harmony my mouth and my right hand have together while I'm preaching.
Amen.
That's right. Work together in harmony.
Amen.
Your old buddy called me today. He's coming to the camp meeting on Friday. Anyway, he's going to take a day off. Amen. Now, there's unity in debt. Now, everybody stay right with me. I'm not talking about I pay your bills and you pay mine. But there ought to be unity in our indebtedness. Paul said, I'm debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise. So as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. Now I wonder tonight if we're all debtors. We all realize that we owe a debt. Not to Jesus. You'll never pay back that salvation. But we owe a debt to a lost and a dying world.
Amen.
To see to it that they get the gospel. In 1985, there was 93 countries in the world that did not even have a gospel track in their language. 93 countries.
Amen.
Now we can say, well, God's a sovereign God. If He wanted somebody over there, He'd have put them over there. I'd much rather say God's called men that have been too cowardly to go and carry the gospel and do the work God's called them to do.
Amen.
Now I'm going to tell you why. Because that Bible said He's not willing that any should perish. That all should come to repentance and be saved.
Amen.
Amen. That's right, ain't it?
Amen.
Praise the darling Lamb of God.
Amen.
Every time I hear a missionary, that's where I want to go.
Amen.
I want to go everywhere.
Amen.
But I can't go everywhere. I wish to God I could. Amen. I'm going to tell you, I've got one desire in my heart. And I know men have died with desires that's been unfulfilled. But I've got one desire I'd like to preach one time. Just one time to a group of people that have never heard the name of Jesus.
Amen.
One time.
Yes, sir.
Now don't ask me why. I guess that's just my missionary. The way I raised money with Maranatha, went out to Arizona and started Southern Shield Baptist Church. Still out there today too. Holding two Sunday morning services every week. And that's just, that may just be my missionary desire and love for missions and mission work. But I'm going to tell you some of the greatest meetings we've ever had in this church. Some of you that was here 14, 15 years ago, you remember some of the mission conferences we had. I'm telling you, a year James Burgess was here and the year that old brother Ronnie Waters come through here. Oh, you talking about mission conferences, friend. I'm telling you, Sheila Rawls, Brother Richard Rawls' daughter. That's, what do you call her, a paraplegic? Is that what she's had? No, she's gotten multiple muscular dystrophy. She just can't move her muscle. Y'all know Sheila, most of y'all do, but she's in a wheelchair. Son, she was sitting up here one night, and she was singing Little As Much When God Is In It. And I grabbed that wheelchair and rocked back on it and headed out there, and that's when we had that other aisle in there, and down that aisle around that building, and I swear, when I set her down up here, her eyeballs was that big around. But her daddy was hanging it on. I'm talking about having mission going. Hey, it almost takes an act of Congress to get a tear or a shout or an amen or something out of us. But I'm telling you, on back 14 years ago when I took that little girl around here, amen to God, all it took was a little crippled girl singing Little As Much When God Is In It, and it stirred up the whole church.
Amen. Amen.
I'm telling you, you don't have to be great to do something for God and be used of God. All you have to do is let God use you.
Amen.
And avail yourself to God. Amen. That's right.
Amen.
God called me to, God saved me and then called me to preach. In high school, I couldn't even get up front of a crowd and sing Mary's a dozy dose and little lambs that die will kill the eye, wouldn't you too?
Amen.
I couldn't get up in front of a crowd to save my life and say nothing.
Amen.
Now it's all I want to do is get up in front of crowds. Tell them about Jesus.
Amen.
Praise God. Tell them about the church.
Amen.
That our Lord's building for us.
Amen.
And it's not going down. I want to say again, it's going up. And He's coming after a glorious church. He's working in our midst right now to purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good work, a holy church without spot and without blemish.
Amen.
That's right. Thank God. So there's unity in our debt. Boy, I hope we get this one. Unity in music.
Amen.
Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord.
Amen.
Nobody would dispute psalms.
Amen.
They're in the Bible. You can't. Now, I'm going to tell you where the trouble comes in people today. It's hymns and spiritual songs.
Amen.
What's right, what's not.
What
is spiritual and what's not? What's hymns and what's not?
Amen.
Now, I want to show you what I'm talking about, unity in music. I'm going to give you a good illustration. I went to a church in Mexico on a Thursday night. The pastor's name is Brother Pascual. Brother Bill carried me over and said, they want you to come over this Thursday night and preach for them. I preached that message on some things I want to praise Him for. And I got down there on the music. How that they praised Him on an instrument of 10 strings and the psaltery and the harp and all those instruments out of Psalm 150. I got on that. Man, I'm telling you, God began to work. And I just laid on that. I got on spiritual songs. And I got to preaching against rock. And I got to preaching against rap. And I'm telling you, country and western and everything under the sun that I could think about. We left there that night, and old Brother Bill Williams, we sat down in his truck, and you know how he laughs. He stuck his hand over like that, and I said, what's wrong with you, Brother Bill? He said, you wouldn't believe it, but he said, there's 4 or 5 young people in that church that for several weeks have been trying to tear it up, said they was going to bring rap music into it. Said the preacher's been preaching against it, and said, you come in there tonight and laid her in the shade for him. And I said, well, praise God. There's no such thing as Christian rap. No such thing as, and I'm telling you, I sat in the parking lot of the funeral home yesterday. I don't know how it got on there, but I listened to a song yesterday on WSOF that is 100% country.
Amen.
Don't ask me how it got on there. I didn't put it on there.
Amen.
Name of it is A Satisfied Mind. I'm richer by far with a satisfied mind. I said, how in God's name did that get on this radio station? I heard that 35, 40 years ago.
Amen.
Maybe 45 years ago.
Amen.
Nothing about God. Nothing about, I'm talking about 100% country.
Amen.
I got back out of the parking lot. I got the shakes and had to get a little bite to eat. I walked in and told Brother Doug. I said, Brother Doug, just heard a song play. Told him what it was, what time to play. I said, it's the last time I want to hear it.
Amen.
We don't listen to that stuff here. We don't play it. We won't play that stuff.
Amen.
Me and Miss Hall pulled in last night in the garage. And they was playing that song I had the choir to sing to practice last night. When they practiced that song, Let the Lower Lights Be Burning. I don't know who it was. It might have been the Kingsmen. Somebody singing that. We pulled in the garage and they just had started. I said, honey, I just want to sit here and listen to that. I said, that's so pretty.
Amen.
Praise God, I just want to sit in here and listen to that good old hymn. Oh, I tell you, it was soothing to my soul. Was it the Kingsman? Anybody you know is the Kingsman song? I thought it was an old Kingsman song, really. And boy, it was good. I'm telling you, let the lower lights be burning. Send a gleam across the way. Woo! Hallelujah to God.
Amen.
When old Brother James Burgess was here with us, a missionary, he just about irated me. I said, he sang that song. He said, trim your lamps. My feeble brother, and when he got done singing it that night when the service was over, I said, Brother James, that song don't say, trim your lamps my feeble brother. It says, trim your feeble lamps my brother. No, it don't either. No, it don't. I said, all right, whatever you say. But you saw what it said tonight. Trim your feeble lamps my brother. Our little old lamps are feeble. But I'll tell you, if we'll keep them trimmed, they'll throw a light across the way that some old struggling seaman can make his way to harbor. Hallelujah to God, and find his way to Christ. Amen. That's right. Thanks be unto God. Now I got to hurry. My time's gone. Unity in music. He said, speak to ourselves. Speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Here's what I wrote down. I wrote, speak to ourselves first, then singing will be much better. Speak inwardly, sing outwardly. Amen. Then we ought to be unity in our mind. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We ought to be focused on the same thoughts for the ministry. Amen. That's right. And I've got some other thoughts on that. I'm not even going to preach them. But there ought to be unity in mirth.
Amen.
Ain't no reason why everybody in here oughtn't to have joy in their salvation.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you what the Bible said in Isaiah 12:3. Therefore, with joy shall you draw water from the wells of salvation.
Yep.
Anybody feel like drawing tonight?
Yes, sir.
Did you bring a bucket?
Yes,
got to drop your bucket in the well.
Yes,
draw out some joy, amen, out of the wells of salvation. Yes, drop that bucket in that well.
Yes,
I went back to Indiana a few weeks ago to had lunch up there with my sister and my brothers. Could be there, all of them, but one was there that's living. We got done eating up at Scottsburg. We drove down at the old home place, and I walked up on the hill in a little pile of rock. That's where the old well used to stand. And I can remember as a little boy sitting out there throwing a baseball with my brothers up and down that little old path, 30 or 40 feet long, sitting on that well. I remember taking an old bucket out in the well. We had all the way we had getting water in the house. Taking that rope and dropping it down in that bucket in the well and give it a little snap in that bucket, turn upside down and boom, fall in that water, fill it down, pull her up. Carry in the house. And by the way, everybody wants to be so sanitary these days. I mean, I'm surprised that folks are not buying Germex by the 1,000-gallon barrels.
Right.
Everybody wants to be germ-free today. They was 10 of us kids raised in a well, 9, one of my sister died. 9 of us kids raised in that house, and mom and daddy, we had one bucket and one dipper, and we all drank out of the same dipper. Praise God, was as healthy as a lark. As far as I know, I'm the only child they had that ever went to the hospital.
Amen.
That was because of a kidney infection.
Amen.
And we try to be germ-free today.
Yeah.
That's an impossibility unless you want to get in your little bubble. Can I show you something while I'm there? Well, everybody listen to me now, and I'm not trying to be ugly. But the Lord knows what He was doing when He sent little diseases into this world, or sicknesses like the flu, the cold. Satan, you know why? Because they help build your immune system. You go through life, friend, without ever encountering any sickness. And I'm going to tell you something, when you get old, one of them hits you, you'll die quickly. And put that down in your little black book. Your immune system has got to be built up against that. And the way your immune system is built up is by overcoming that. Now, I learned that since I become a doctor in there. Hallelujah. Y'all glad you got a doctor for a preacher? Joy in salvation, joy in singing. He said, behold, Isaiah 65:14, my servant shall sing. For joy of salvation.
Amen.
Praise God, the whole church ought to joy. And joy in the Scriptures. Jeremiah 15:16. I've said, thy words were found, and I did eat them.
Yep.
And thy word was unto me joy and rejoicing of the heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts.
Yep.
Hallelujah. What about that? Yep. Joy in our salvation, joy and singing.
Yep.
Joy in the Scriptures. Did any of y'all ever get into joy in the Scriptures?
Amen.
You ever read it?
Amen.
Praise God, what a wonderful book.
Amen.
That song Brother Doug and him sang, this wonderful old book that I hold in my hand, or something like that.
Yep.
What a book!
Yep.
No book like this book. Hallelujah. Holy Bible.
Amen.
The book.
Amen.
Not a book, the book.
Amen.
Learn it. Brother Jerome used to sleep with his. I don't know if he still does or not. Still sleeps with it.
Amen.
Pretty good sleeping companion.
Amen.
What about that house Jesus built? You glad you're a part of it?
Yes, sir. Amen.
I hope so. Let's stand together.